Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We are your sports station. It is Dukes and Bell. We're live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Glad to have you listening on a Friday. Again, a big shout out to all the motorcycle police officers in the ATL. We had a big group of folks that helped us out this morning with the Georgia Special Olympics event, Mike, downtown. And big shout out to Shrek. Did he not look like Shrek, by the way?
Yeah, man. The dude, the brother looked like Shrek. And he actually had an ID that said Shrek. It was pretty cool. So I will say this. I could definitely get used to a police motorcycle motorcade.
Trying to tell you, man.
Man, but we went from downtown Atlanta over to Ponce, over to Briarcliff, and to Emory University and to the athletic field where they had the Special Olympics. They're hosting many of the events this weekend. It's the 30th Georgia Special Olympics. And how about everybody? We had a bunch of young recruits. They got 3 weeks left at the Atlanta Police Academy. Those guys were humping. It was like the Marines. Or you should have heard they were the Cadence. They were doing the chants. And it was really cool. And then you also had some Special Olympians that made the whole run. And we clocked it. It was about just over 8 miles.
It was a challenging course, to say the least.
Uphill, baby.
You know, and I say this to people. I mean, it's one thing, and I know a lot of you folks are getting ready for the peach tree. But, you know, when you go into the gym or you got a treadmill at home, it's completely different when you're doing street road work.
Right.
You know, it's a completely different feel. So it's one thing to be able to do that on the treadmill and feel good. And I'm not, you know, saying you shouldn't, but when you get out there on the streets, man. So congratulations to all the folks who participated and finished it today. And, again, all the people who gave their time and certainly giving to Special Olympics.
We're here at Twin Peaks, by the way. Just had some of those low-fat chicken fingers with the low-fat French fries.
Okay, wait a minute. There is no such thing as low-fat.
Sure it is, man. Got the low-fat chicken finger. It says right here on the menu.
No. There's no way they can be fried in low-fat.
Low-fat honey mustard, low-fat ketchup, low-fat Dos Equis. It's all good, man. We're all about being healthy. But one thing for certain is we were watching these guys. These athletes are in great shape behind us. Carl and I and Mike, who was driving the 92.9 The Game Suburban, it's like, yeah, man. I'm like, we're like guys pushing 50. Carl's much younger than me. I'm like, yeah, I got to start jogging. But the problem is you got to lose weight to jog.
You do.
You're too fat and brush your knees. Yeah. So it's a great catch-22.
No, it's true. I mean, you can go jog, but you probably will be out of commission for about 2 weeks.
Yeah, you'll have knee braces, Bengay, Advil,
yeah.
You know.
So I'm with you, man. So what's the plan then? What are you going to do?
Just going to stay fat and fluffy.
Okay.
I think at this point we realize we're never going to lose weight. I think this is our weight. Where we're at right now is pretty much good for us.
I need to lose 10, though. I mean, come on.
Well, everybody out there needs
come on.
Everybody out there needs to lose 10, unless you're an Olympic swimmer or something. But, I mean,
you know what the problem is, though? Honestly, like last night, I say that, and, you know, the Braves game gets rained out. I immediately leave, and I'm like, yo, I'm hungry. I want to get something to eat on the way home. I stop at Popeyes. That's 10 pounds right there.
I know, brother. I ate half a chicken last night at Caravaca.
It's 10 pounds.
By the way, I put the pictures up. Guys had never seen green herbs and spices. Like, what is that you were eating last night? You know what? Just don't. From now on, I'm going to stop posting photos. You know, Wendy sends selfies. I always post pictures of food. Anyway, guys, we're here at Twin Peaks. Come on down. Perfect day. Looks like we're going to be lucky with the rain. Knock wood, although I said that yesterday. Sunny skies right now. Get out on the patio and have an ice cold beer. Coldest beer in Kennesaw.
Hey, man, we're going to get to an NFL Blitz segment coming up here in just a minute. Real quick, as we were talking about this article from the New York Times, and the title, by the way, is A New Atlanta, okay? Mm-hmm. And then it goes on to say United by Soccer. And they've done a great piece with some fans that have been very faithful and loyal to the United from the jump, as Mike and I have been. And so they interviewed some of these guys. But if you want to go check it out, and again, I'm about to retweet it so you guys can check it out before we get into our discussion about what our city is as a sports city. With that, Craig back at the studio, man. Let's get to an NFL Blitz.
Welcome to the NFL.
With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
All right, Mike. we've been saying for some time now that we believe that the NFL is going to make it happen somehow, some way, and get to 18 games. We currently play 16. And there is a theory out there that the possibility...
By the way, real quick, can we just get Super Bowl 51 off the TV?
I don't know. Tell somebody to change the channel. I stopped watching. I turned my back.
It's 28,
30 minutes ago.
It's 28-12 with 8:20.
I don't want to know what the score
left.
Is.
How do we? I mean, the more you watch this, it blows my mind. Carl, if you're going to do an 18-game regular season, you're going to have to expand the roster to at least 60 guys.
Okay.
You're going to have a second bye week. I got no problem with it. I mean, you can run the NFL as long as we can keep running guys out there and they stay healthy enough to play. America can't get enough football. That's why we're seeing another couple of Mickey Mouse spring leagues developing. But do you have a problem with an 18-game season?
I do not. But if you're talking about the NFL profiting more money on this...
Well, the players will make more money. They're going to renegotiate right. their deals.
But all the things you're talking about then becomes irrelevant. How much more money are we talking about, though? I mean, if you're adding two more games on to the Falcons' schedule, right? And let's just say one's home, one's away. That's fine. But more wear and tear. You're going to do two bye weeks as well?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You've got to do a bye. You will probably start the season. Maybe you might start the season last week in August. You might just – here's the thing. You can easily do it under the framework of the current time frame to play the season by taking away two of those meaningless preseason games.
I agree.
You can extend, if you like, your preseason. But, again, you're going to have to pay for that. The players are not going to do that for nothing. So you're going to have to compensate the players. You'll have a second bye week, but I do think the 53-man roster will have to get jacked up to 60.
And the reason why this is being brought up is because with the law, or the rule, should I say, that was came down the ruling earlier this week with the Supreme Court, a lot of people were saying, listen, we'd have 288 regular season games to bet on. The NFL would get their cut, and we still don't know how that's going to work. But it becomes a profitable situation for everybody, including the players, and therefore the gambling would be driving the fact that they'd want to increase the amount of total games.
I was talking about this with a friend of mine who used to be in the bookmaking business, and we were talking about how would you develop this. Well, it's pretty simple. The format would be, and again, you may have a channel. Like right now, if you go to the NFL Sunday Ticket, or you'll have everyone's got the digital capabilities at home, you'll go to the gambling channel version of your NFL game, which have the same announcers, but you'll have all these windows and prompts to pick up and bet. But the thing that's simple is, it's one company could run it. I mean, somebody's going to get rich off of this deal, but the NFL gets his cut. The networks provide, obviously, the resources involved in it. It's not that complicated when you think about it. It's just a matter of if a state allows it, or how do the feds have to get involved with some kind of oversight, because it's going to be over the air all across the country.
Yeah, it is interesting, and we've been saying this for the last few years. I still think, even without this gambling element, the NFL was moving this way. I still believed over the last few years this is the direction the league is going in. Now I think they have even more incentive, knowing that basically another revenue stream is opened up.
You've just added more interest to your product.
Yes.
I mean, it's plain and simple. Now, we have a lot of guys out there that love gambling. Our poll, I think, was 83% of our audience said if sports gambling was legal in Georgia, they'd do it. I know there's some people out there that feel, oh, this is the end of the world. There's parental controls. There's all sorts of things you can put in place to keep little Johnny or Janie from jumping on the broadcast and putting money down using your credit card.
Mike, you talked about this story yesterday. It's our NFL Blitz segment brought to you by our friends at Jim Ellis, Kia of Kennesaw. Go see my friends at 1221 Auto Park Drive in Kennesaw, guys. This Reuben Foster story, and it's interesting because as we talked about it late in the show yesterday, a guy tweeted at me, and he said, Dukes, isn't there the other side of this, and that is, could she have been paid off? Don't you think that you might be jumping the gun on that side of things as well? Because we said we don't like to rush to judgment. We want to hear all the evidence.
Well, a couple of things. For guys, just to back you up, for guys who didn't understand the timeline of this, Reuben Foster kind of gave himself he was kind of like a black mark on his name because he had a failed drug test at the combine. So immediately, as soon as allegations of domestic abuse came up, writers and some media types immediately, oh, he's a bad guy. Forget about it. This guy's a punk and be done. And then you put on the hashtag MeToo movement, and his name is persona non grata. Now, after the court testimony, the woman that he was dating, that was relationship was going south, she says that it was just about a money thing, that she was just simply trying to get paid. She said she was blanked off. I wanted to end him. And immediately, the folks out there who don't buy the story say, yes, there's going to be some kind of settlement that she's going to get from Reuben Foster's folks. I don't know. Carl, we're enough around athletes and enough people where we've seen this story before.
Right.
This doesn't surprise me. I just think people want to rush to judgment on so many things. That's like the Ezekiel Elliott. Look, is he guilty of bad judgment and acting the fool in public? Yes. But the NFL itself said there wasn't enough to move forward. And by the way, he never went to court over it. So I think too many times in this country, guys get 2 plus 2 and they get 5 or 6 out of it.
Alyssa Ennis is her name. She said she made up the story about Foster's attack because she wanted him, quote, to go down after he broke up with her. Quote, I wanted him to go down. I was pissed, she said. This is in the San Jose Mercury News.
Well, I mean, in a perfect world, everybody that you date or you get in a relationship with is, quote, unquote, normal. There's a lot of crazy people out there. There's crazy guys. There's crazy gals. But this is a part of, look, I don't know.
But one false accusation, Mike, tears your whole career.
And I don't want to sound sexist, but guess what? There's gold diggers out there. Arthur worked in the NBA. I don't want to put him on the spot. There's women who chase athletes.
He won't talk anymore.
There's women who chase athletes. There's women that literally want to get a baby with an athlete, so they've got that money chain, that money train coming down for at least 18 years. It's sad, it's pathetic, but these people exist in this world. And here you see it with Reuben Foster.
Yeah, it's just one of those stories. But I was, you know, I said to the guy last night as he tweeted that, well, what if he paid her off? I said, well, we'll hear all the evidence. But I am more prone, being around the world of sports for 20-some-odd years as I have and covered every major sport, to know and seen these situations. And we have to be very careful because, as you said, if we come on the air, we're telling you that there are a lot more of these women who are doing these kinds of things out of spite. Okay, or being PO'd at a guy because he broke up with her. It sounds petty, but guys, this goes on a lot more than I think most people realize, and we all are a little bit afraid, Mike, to go, well, I mean, maybe he didn't do anything. It's automatically that guys are guilty.
And the worst part about this phenomenon is it devalues the women who really legitimately suffer at the hands of guys that are abusive, that are jerks, that have done all everything that have come out and you heard in Hollywood over the years. Now you're trivializing that as a simple money grab. That's not right either.
It's not. It's Dukes and Bell. It's our NFL Blitz segment brought to you by our friends at Jim Ellis, Kia of Kennesaw. We heard Terrell Owens earlier in the program hint that the Cowboys should fire Jason Garrett. He blames the Jason Garrett for the Cowboys' struggles. Meanwhile, we're going to talk about some of the other things that are going on in and around the NFL. Shaquin Griffin, you know who he is, right?
Yeah.
Drafted by Seattle. Let's hear from him because he says, listen, now that I've been drafted, I'm ready to put all the doubters to shame.
I know it's always going to be that doubt, but that's why, you know, I'm here. I got opportunity to build a great team, a great coaching staff, and I'm ready to put doubters to rest.
Listen, I hope this kid luck. He's playing in Seattle. He's playing with his brother. A lot of people doubt him. This is a young man that has basically no hand, guys, out of UCF.
Birth defect and eventually had the hand amputated. And he's going on with the combine story with the apparatus that they put on there, the brace that he's able to use in bench press. It's an amazing story. I thought he was going to go a little bit higher, but at the end of the day, the NFL is still a business. But now we can still prove the critics wrong, all the teams that didn't think he'd be worth the draft pick.
No doubt. We're going to give you a chance to win some money here in a second. Let's hear from Hugh Jackson with the Browns. We found out yesterday they will be the team on NFL Hard Knocks on HBO, and he talks about jumping in the lake on June 1st. What?
The time has come for me to make good on my word. On June 1st, I'm jumping in the lake. Fortunately, I'm not going alone. Many members of the Browns organization have agreed to jump with me. Giving back to the community is the Browns way, so I've decided to add a little twist to my jump. Not only will I be making good on my word, we will also be jumping in for a good cause. For every member of the Browns organization that jumps with me, I'm going to donate $100 towards the fight to end human trafficking in Northeast Ohio through the Hugh Jackson Foundation. My goal is to get $15,000. We are working towards making 2018 a much better year for the Cleveland Browns, and I'm hoping to also cleanse ourselves of all the losing for the past two seasons by jumping in.
So he's going to be in Lake Erie. I thought he was going to do it, though, like in February. I mean, let's be honest. I thought it was going to be Polar Bear Club. I mean, I'm not sure how amenable the waters are in June. I'm going to imagine it's a little bit warmer than it would have been after the season.
So this is a cleanse, too, though. So he's raising money and he's trying to cleanse
Don't you still need a tetanus shot to jump in Lake Erie anywhere in the lake, whether it's on the Buffalo side, the Cleveland side, the Canadian side?
I wouldn't do it. But I praise Hugh Jackson for doing it for some charity work and trying to get the Browns fans excited. Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell. We're live at Twin Peaks. Let's give you a chance to win some money right now.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Well, Mike said with his big trip coming up that he would be as sharp as a laser. L-A-S-E-R is the word.
I think today I've not quit. We're on an hour and 15 minutes in, and I'm focused
early.
Like a laser.
It's early.
L-A-S-E-R. You text that to 72881 on your phone right now. And if you're at the bar, you can do that too. We encourage you guys. 72881. The word is laser. Where are my freaking sharks with the freaking lasers?
Laser. All right, man. $1,000 on the line for you. And again, message and data rates apply. Do not text and drive. Hey, coming up, we're also going to get a feel for what to expect with the Preakness. It's coming up. And a guy that we've had on, talked to quite a bit about the horse racing industry and the business, Jude Feld is going to join us coming up here in about 10 minutes.
Real quick, full disclosure, we're live here at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Matt just made this unbelievable throw, and Julio Jones makes the greatest catch of his life that should have secured us the Super Bowl win and then a peach tree parade and everything else that comes with it.
How are you going to linger on this? Can we please change the channel?
4 minutes and 40 seconds left. Fall forward 3 times, kick a field goal, and we're Super Bowl champions, and Atlanta is no longer loser.
All right, listen, you said it.
I cannot watch this.
Well, then why are you?
Please turn this off. Somebody, I'm begging you. I can't watch it again.
Hey, we're coming back. We're live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Come on out and hang out with us. We're turning the channel. Trust us.
Oh.
Well, for starters, you have to purify yourself in the waters of Lake Minnetonka.
Justify and Good Magic inaudible. Justify in a 2-length lead. Final try from Good Magic. All rise for Justify. The Kentucky Derby was never in doubt. Wins by 2.5. It's tight for second between Good Magic and Audible.
Well, I tell you what, I say we as in Dukes and Bell. Because
the royal we.
Yeah, well, you did do a good job of picking the horses, and you didn't hit for the $3,000 you hit for a couple of years ago.
Well, I got 2 of the 3 horses, but that's not the way Vegas pays out a trifecta. So, they prefer if you're going to box that, you got to get the other horse right. We were talking about the ponies, and this is about the only time that we do get the people fired up, the casual fan, when you do have a Kentucky Derby winner that looks to have the kind of juice that could go all the way. Different distances, this is the shortest of the races, the Preakness, and we're joined by our horse racing expert, who we joined, we were out at Twin Peaks in Buckhead last time we spoke.
Absolutely. It is Jude Feld who joins us, Horse Racing Radio Network. And last time we spoke to him, he was at one of those swanky parties for the Kentucky Derby. What are you doing today, my man?
Oh, I'm sitting at home watching all the races at Pimlico on television. So
Carl,
I didn't have
nobody
to work
wants to go
the Preakness
to Pimlico
this year.
Yeah, Jude, nobody wants to go to the Preakness. The track is falling apart. Some people even suggested moving it to Laurel, Maryland. Or, hey, how about, you know what? Really make horse racing exciting. Take it out to Santa Anita or Gulfstream. Or is that just sacrilegious to talk about the Triple Crown like that?
Well, you know, Maryland has a rich history of racing, and those people want to keep the Preakness there. I think really all of horse racing would like to have the Preakness at Pimlico. The track is a little ramshackle. You always have to get the rosary beads out when you take the press elevator because you don't know how long you're going to be staying there. And it's one of those places. It's old, but it has its charm. It's got certainly tons of history, and some fabulous people have raced there and tremendous horses. So nobody wants to see it go away from Pimlico, but they do run a short meet there. They try to keep it down to Aurora, and everything's about these 2 days, Black Eyed Susan Day today and Preakness tomorrow.
Hey, Jude Feld joins us, horse racing expert. By the way, on that trifecta last time we spoke, I had Mendelsohn. Man, he got pinballed out of place and was never even a factor and finished dead last. Did they really send him to the glue factory?
No. Actually, they took him back home to Ireland, and they're bringing him back here for the Breeders' Cup. So you'll get a chance to get your money back. So save up a few bucks for Breeders' Cup weekend. It's going to be back at Churchill Downs, and hopefully he'll have a better trip.
All right, everybody's talking about Justified. It's Dukes and Bell. We're taking a few minutes to talk about the Preakness after the Kentucky Derby. Everybody's talking about Justified. What other horses should we be watching, though, with this small field?
Well, it's an interesting race because some of these horses are running back in 2 leads, and their trainers aren't really known for doing that. Chad Brown's got Good Magic, who was the runner-up in the Kentucky Derby. His horse hasn't trained as good as I'd like to see him at Pimlico, but he was the 2-year-old champion and he has the second place finish, but might be a little quick back for him. A horse that's looked really good in the morning is Lone Sailor. And Lone Sailor is trained by Tom Amos, who's a guy who's used to running horses that quick and knows how to keep them fresh between starts. I think he's going to be one of the contenders in the trifecta for sure.
Talking with horse racing handicapping expert Jude Feld with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Justify was so clean, literally and figuratively. Didn't get muddy at all in that sloppy track.
He didn't.
I mean, that was just impressive. I know we kind of get to be prisoners of the moment, but American Pharoah, are we going to see two Triple Crown winners in less than 4 years?
Yeah, wouldn't that be cool? You know, Justify, he's got a lot of talent. He's a beautiful horse. He's got a great stride on him, and there's no reason that if he wins the Preakness, he couldn't go on and do just as well going a mile and a half. I think he's got a great temperament, a lot like American Pharoah. They're not the same horse, but he's kind of a cool, chill guy. Like, he'd like to be hanging out with you guys at the bar today. You know, he's just one of those kind of horses. Doesn't get excited about anything. Takes everything in stride.
I tell you what, a lot of folks are hoping that we do get a Triple Crown winner because, again, you know, it's very uncommon to see it so closely happen together. I mean, you usually go stretches of many years before we see another Triple Crown winner.
Big Brown was one that we were all excited about here.
That's right.
The UPS connection, Jude, and then that thing just came up and, you know, at the last turn at Belmont and just laid an egg. So, all right, we got give me a trifecta here because, again, Carl just mentioned it's a short field. The
Justify run, and who else?
Yeah, for the Black Eyed Susans, what are we going for here?
I'm going to use Justify and Lone Sailor, and then the local horse, Diamond King. He won the Frederico Tessio Stakes at Laurel Park in his last start, and that got him an automatic berth into the Preakness. And he's a very talented horse. The ownership gave a lot of money for him. They bought him privately, and he's had some little mishaps along the way. His rider fell off of him one time at Churchill Downs, and then he had kind of a rough trip in the Swale, which is at Gulfstream Park. But his other races, he's won them all. So he's got four victories in six starts, and I think he'll handle the off-track just fine. He's by Quality Road, and he's a very good horse. So he might be an interesting horse to throw in your try. So that would be, as far as numbers concerned, 7, 2, and 4.
Gotcha. Because we mentioned Justify, we talked about Lone Sailor. Good Magic, of course, had a nice run at the Derby. All right, Jude, hopefully we'll be talking about Justify winning this race, and in a couple of weeks more time, we'll be talking about the Belmont with you.
Yeah, feel free to have me on again. I really enjoy talking to you guys.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate you, Jude. His name is Jude Feld. He is a horse racing analyst with the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And by the way, guys, if you've never been to the Preakness, it's kind of funny, Carl, as cool as the Kentucky Derby is, and I think for a lot of people, some folks in Metro Atlanta have made the trip at least once. It's a bucket list thing. Arthur, you ever been to the Kentucky Derby? Come on, man. I know you got the suits for it. Arthur can't speak until, well, I don't think we get to hear from Arthur at all today. Puffy K will be joining us at 4:40. We don't get yeah, man, no, man. But, Carl, when I worked in D.C., to go up to the Preakness, the infield at the Preakness at Pimlico is about the horse racing equivalent of the infield at Talladega.
Oh.
It's rough and ready, baby. Clapboard houses. The joke is when you come in that part of Baltimore, there's a town called Dundalk. And the joke is when the immigrants came in, people go, don't dock. I mean, it's a real tough neighborhood. But that's why when I started the conversation, there was some concern that maybe this place has outworn its usefulness.
Interesting, man. Tomorrow, by the way, 6:45, a field of 8 horses, if you're interested in watching the Preakness. Hey, we got Mike Conti coming up, guys. We are live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, inviting you to come on out and hang out with us. Now, real quick, Mike, and we've been saying this and kind of teasing it along the way, but we said we were going to get into this conversation. I want to get into it, and I also want to get your thoughts at 404-741-0929 as this New York Times article paints our city a little bit different than what I would have liked. And you said it. I'm not going to leave it up to a newspaper in the Northeast to basically understand, you know, how the South is and, more importantly, how Atlanta is and what the culture and diversity is here. And so – if you read this article, even if you haven't, basically the factual stuff about how to build the team and what Arthur Blank did and what Darren Ailes, who comes on this show on a weekly basis, did to put the pieces in place to make an exciting product is right.
Right.
But the part that rubs me the wrong way, and I don't know how you feel about it, is, you know, they talk about the idea of what Atlanta is and how soccer is bringing everybody together. Now, we said this. That is true. Soccer is uniting our city in a different way than some of the other sports because many of us have moved here with other teams that we grew up with cheering for, and you adopted either the Falcons or the Hawks or whatever it might have been.
Well, with the exception of 98 and a couple of the Barkowski seasons, I mean, this team was, let's be honest, the Falcons have a losing legacy until 2008 when Thomas Dimitroff, Smitty, Matt Ryan arrived. You know, and now we're a team we feel we're a perennial power, as painful as to watch this replay of the Super Bowl over our shoulder. But, I mean, that brings the I think of all the sports events and sports teams in this city, I think that the Falcons are the one thing that brings everybody together, inside, outside, the perimeter, white folks, black folks, rich, poor. I think we had a great vibe. I thought 16 at the Georgia Dome, we
incredible.
Talked about this yesterday.
Incredible.
We were really creating the kind of home field, dome field advantage, which you want to you have and you aspire to have, something like the Steelers have in Pittsburgh, et cetera. And then we go to Mercedes-Benz, and we love all the bells and whistles, but not everybody got to make the trip into the new stadium because they couldn't afford it. So you lose some of that.
Economics play
that
a
has,
role.
That
yes.
has no bearing on, to your point about Atlanta. They made us sound like we were Dallas or like Charlotte where, yeah, they got a downtown, but there's nothing going on. There's so much happening here in Atlanta. You go to Inman Park. You go to the Virginia Highlands. You go to Midtown West.
Five
you go
points.
To Cabbage Town, the 4th Ward, East Atlanta Village. You know what I mean? Auburn Avenue. There's a lot of stuff here, which I just don't think this guy got. I think he comes in with his attitude of Atlanta is this, you know, soulless, you know, town in the South, and that's totally not. You're missing the point of what the city's all about.
Yeah, and that's the part that kind of rubbed me.
I mean, the music thing, the hip-hop
the wrong
thing
way.
You talked about yesterday.
Well, listen, I just know, you know, as someone who was in college in the 90s, all right, and I'm only speaking for what I know, and we all know this, whether you were here or not, this city completely changed after 96. When the Olympics came, there were people who came to Atlanta and went, I'm never leaving. And then you had people go back to wherever they were from and went, man, I went to Atlanta, and it was unbelievable.
Right.
And then they came. And that was this influx of population growth that the city saw between 96 and maybe 06, where you saw this boom go on. And that, again, that's, you know, Buckhead's booming at that time. Mm-hmm. All the stuff is going on. I mean, guys, you had people coming to Atlanta to party as if this was Vegas. Okay?
Right.
The city didn't close. There were certain elements that were very attractive to the entertainment business. So, I we'll get more into it, but I just hate the fact that when you see this and you don't know anything about Atlanta, you go, well, wow, that doesn't look like that's somewhere I want to be.
If you came from Chicago or Minneapolis, you're not going to jump on board with the Falcons immediately. You got a heritage. If you come from Boston or New York, I get that. But, you know, most people, as you said, no one's going back. You come here, no. You live here. Now, in the article, they talk real quick about the Braves. The Braves made their decision. They looked at their data, did their research, and felt that their fan base was up here. They didn't want to sit in traffic at the connector. They never, and that was a mistake, and I blame Ted Turner for, I mean, Ted did a lot of things right. You could have put money downtown by Turner Field and really turned that into something. You could have had the same thing you got at SunTrust downtown, but if you can't get there in your car in under 2 hours, nobody would go anyway.
More to come on this, guys. Your thoughts. What is our city? Honestly, 404-741-0929. Not in just regards to sports, but what is our city and how it's viewed and how do you view it? Has your view changed since you've been here in the ATL? We got more to get to. Mike Conti next with In Case You Missed It.
Pretty busy.
Who busy?
Busy.
What? I'm very busy right now.
Hey, man.
It's time now for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conti.
Have I got good news for you?
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
You know, we try to get Arthur to do shots, and after all these years working together, 4 years now, talking to his bro, and he's like, oh, you know, Arthur wouldn't do shots anyway, even without this, like, cancer thing excuse, you know, which comes up all the time.
It's official, AT. He's checked out. It's Dukes and Bell. We are live at Twin Peaks.
No, I'm looking for some fellowship here on a Friday, man.
Mm-hmm. It's called starting your vacation early. Mike Conti, what do you have working, my man?
What is the most embarrassing thing to happen to you guys at a restaurant?
I forgot my wallet. I did that thing from Fast Times at Ridgemont High once on a date, but I didn't have Damone to come to pick up and get my wallet, so the girl actually had to pay.
I got sick one time, and I was that guy that ruined it for other people in the restaurant. That was a long, long time ago. It's probably the worst thing that happened because, you know, I guess the fear is as you're eating and enjoying a nice meal, right, the person next to you hurling is the worst. So, that happened to me. But I think that was probably the most embarrassing or the worst thing, I would guess.
Have either of you ever been kicked out of a restaurant?
Close.
No.
Close?
Close. Yes. Back when Shoney's had the all-you-can-eat breakfast.
You abused the privilege?
Well, I didn't. But, you know, again, I played ball, so we end up going to Shoney's because I'm with all these big linemen, and they're like, man, let's go eat. It's all you can eat. And it got to the point where the manager kept saying, okay, you guys can eat food, but you can't take it. And a lot of these guys, They were packing boxes to take the buffet food to leave. The manager got PO'd and basically threatened to kick us out and call the cops, but it didn't happen.
Well, he's not wrong on that. It's all you can eat in the premises, not all you can take
home. Yeah,
you
tell that to a 6'5", 300-pounder.
Well, anyhow, the reason why I bring this up is there's a player in the San Antonio Spurs, Dejounte Murray. He goes to a very, very swishy steakhouse in Beverly Hills. It's called Mastro's. A lot of celebrities go there, athletes, all that. And he tried to get in the other night. He had his girlfriend with him. And the maitre
There's
d'.
There's a great one, by the way, Mike Conti, in Vegas. Mike and I, Mastro's. It's a great
Mastro's?
Steakhouse.
How does it compare to Carnivino?
Different. Better, maybe. Depends on your take. Some people want. If you like ribeye, you go to Carnivino. If you like a filet, you probably go to Mastro's.
There you go.
Or that 2-pound lobster you had.
Or that.
Would you shut up? You know, why are you putting all my game out there? You know what I mean? You know, from now on, you know what your nickname is? You know, W2. You W2. I'm working. It's Bell and W2
hey,
over here.
Hey, man. You know, I'm just letting the people in on what's going on with
us. You know what? We got out of a fight, and I said, I'm going to have a 3-pound lobster because I can. Sorry, Mike Conti. You were
no,
saying.
As an aside, a 3-pound lobster sounds like a really good idea in principle until you actually get it. Then you realize that a 3-pound lobster is actually a lot bigger than you can handle. I'm speaking from experience on this.
He takes 2 bites of this lobster. He looks at me and goes, wow, this might be too much.
Right. Yeah. You think you can do it, but then when it actually is in front of you, it's a little bit harder. I got a 7-pound lobster from Buford Highway Farmers Market last Labor Day. Didn't even get through a claw. Oh, yeah. No. Huge mistake. Huge mistake. Never, ever do that again. Anyhow, Dejounte Murray goes to Mastro's in Beverly Hills. Like you guys said, very swishy steakhouse, very well known. He goes with his girlfriend. They walk in the door. The maitre d', according to TMZ, stops them. Can't come in. Your girl is wearing inappropriate clothing. And I guess the issue was that her skirt was a little too short and a little too tight. So they were ejected from Mastro's, but then Dejounte Murray got a hold of the manager, said, look, we don't want to cause any trouble. We just want to have a steak and maybe slipped him a 50. Who knows? And they let him sit down and eat. But the whole thing, because this was in Beverly Hills, got captured by the paparazzi. So if you'd like to know exactly what Dejounte Murray's girlfriend was wearing, well, TMZ's got you covered on that one.
I'm going there right now. Thank you, Mike Conti.
Well, wait. Before you go there, by the way, you have your smartphones or your laptops out, I assume, right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
Want to play a little game. Arthur, you too. Craig, you too. Any of our listeners who are not driving, pull out your smartphones or whatever. I want you to go to a website. This is a brand-new website I was just made aware of today. And it's safe for work. You don't have to worry about that. It's called GangstaDope.com, and I'll spell it out for you. GangstaDope.com. Go ahead and type that in, guys, and I'll just wait for your reaction.
Gangster dope.
It's Rick Kamala.
Rick Kamala's got his own website. Gangster dope.
Now there's a story behind it, I'm told. One of our 92.9 The Game listeners. One of our 92.9 The Game listeners.
Of course, the most unflattering picture.
Well, no, I think that's his headshot from the station website. I'm not joking. One of our station listeners. Somehow registered the domain name GangstaDope.com and took Rick Kamala's headshot and created a little Gangsta Dope chain. And there's no other content on the page other than Rick Kamala's head and Gangsta Dope. But it made me laugh uncontrollably when I saw it for the first time this morning.
Me too. I'm laughing that way right now.
Gangsta dope.
We need to start.
I didn't know what was going to pop up.
Right. We need to start a GoFundMe for our listener, the 92.9 The Game listener, who came up with that, registered the URL, because that is priceless. That's absolutely gold.
It is. And man, we love our listeners.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
And we love Rick Kamala too. He's gangsta.
Yes.
He's dope.
And
he's
dope.
He's sometimes gangsta and dope at the same time. I thought that was great. Elfrid Payton has probably one of the worst haircuts in sports. Would you guys agree? And if you don't know what I'm talking about, Elfrid Payton, former Orlando Magic point guard, now with the Phoenix, actually now with no one, he's a free agent, but he finished out the year with the Phoenix Suns. He's the guy who had the canopy hair, like the front of his haircut was so long that it actually kind of draped over his eyes. You know what I'm talking about? It's just an awful
it's
haircut.
It's kind of like the Weeknd. It's kind of like the Weeknd, but more jive.
Yeah, it's worse.
The Weeknd's old haircut, yeah.
Yeah, Well, I, in fact, had a former NBA player, one of the old school guys from like the 80s, tell me that if Elfrid Payton were on his team, he would hold him down and shave him bald for that hair because it was an affront to NBA players everywhere. Well, Elfrid Payton has finally got a haircut. The hideous Elfrid Payton hair is no more. Put an Instagram post up. He went to the barber shop. Very clean look. Almost kind of like a Steve Urkel haircut a little bit. Very, very conservative. And he's entering free agency with that awful, awful hair gone. So now the debate renews. Who has the worst haircut in all of sports? It would probably...
I mean,
go ahead.
No, I just don't... Carl, what's the motivation there? I don't. What's the style? What are you going for? I mean, dreadlocks I get. I mean, long hair is cool.
Well,
I mean, in some people...
Yeah, but I just think, you know what? When you're growing up, and depending on where you're from, the freedom to kind of do something different with your do is cool. And, you know, we always said this. I don't know about you, Mike, but it was like... You can kind of do what you want to do until you have to get in the real world, right? And get a real job.
If you're a bartender, you can do whatever you want.
But that's the thing. I think, you know, in the day and age of professional sports, you can kind of get away with this. There's some things you can do in sports that you just couldn't do in the corporate world.
Problem is, when I had long hair and a short guy looked stupid. You know, there's a certain height you got to have before you can throw long hair down. Meanwhile, remember, Carl, you had, like, your thing going? How would you describe that lid you had going before you buzzed it yourself? Mike Conti, Carl was trying to trim his own hair.
Yeah.
Because you had a cool thing going there for a minute.
It was coming out. I'm not sure what I wanted to do with it, but yeah, I had to cut it off because I had the plug, as they like to say.
It was kind of getting to Jackson 5 levels before you finally took
it
down.
I thought it was cool.
I thought it was great.
All my hats fit.
Yeah. Well, that's the issue. It makes it hard to fit hats, and it confuses you further for Mike Tomlin.
Well, that's true.
You know, because sometimes guys have the confidence to go with their own look. You know, like Mark Davis, Al Davis's son.
I don't know what that is, though.
Mike, that's like a bowl cut.
He's the guy who looks like Captain Kangaroo, right? A little bit?
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mark Davis, I'm going to go out on a limb, guys. I mean, I don't know this for sure. I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that maybe, just maybe, Mark Davis's current hairstyle is not natural. If you get my drift.
Gotcha. Well, let me ask you, think if you're going to do a toupee, the funniest toupee in the world is Marv Albert's. What's Marv Albert now? Pushing 72? And he's got like a chestnut brown like toupee. That thing should have a chin strap on it.
I saw a picture the other day of our girl, Christian Ledlow, who works for NBA TV, and she took a photo of her and Reggie Miller. I think it was Chris Webber. And Marv Albert's in the photo. His face didn't look real. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
I mean, Mike, I don't know how much surgery he's had, but it just didn't look real. Now, Marv Albert still has it when it comes to broadcasting.
The voice is still there. He's still sharp as a tack.
Wow. I was like, is that a dummy? Or is that, like, not in a, like a dummy sense as in, the, you know, like a mannequin?
Well, I mean, unless he's got a lot of Botox. Remember how they used to shoot Leslie Visser, like, through a screen door with Vaseline on the lens?
Crazy. Hey, man, I'm going to...
He's 76. Marv Albert is 76 with a chestnut brown full head of hair.
Unreal.
Because it's a, but I'm always blown away by how many people don't catch on to the toupee thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, technology's gotten a lot better.
Well, not in his case.
You may remember when Marv Albert got into that little trouble 20 years ago, there was some testimony about that hairpiece that came out in open court.
Oh, that's right. That was when he was wearing the, well, never mind. Hey, Mike Conti.
It's kind of a threesome. He was with that lady and the hairpiece was in the corner watching.
I wasn't going to recall it, but you just did.
Well, I'm going on vacation.
See, like I said, you've checked out.
You deal with the repercussions.
Hey, Mike Conti, man, enjoy the call tomorrow, on Sunday, as our United take on the Red Bulls. We will talk to you on Monday, my man.
Sounds good.
There he is, Mike Conti, in case you missed it, guys. Coming up, we're going to talk more about this conversation we've been having. It's an ongoing dialogue throughout the course of the show today.
But we have a major injury for a Georgia Bulldog.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, we'll tell you about it. Feel it in the air. The wind
is taking it everywhere. Yeah. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.